And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the southeast U.S. of A. Y'all, I'm talking about this show, this one. This show go like from Huntsville back on over to Chattanooga, from Tuscaloosa back on over to Gadsden. I'm talking about all the way down to that lovely little village on the plains we call Auburn, straight across the border to what we now call once again Fort Benning. And then big old patches of North Georgia and Mississippi all thrown in just for good measure. And that's just the radio audience. That's just our radio footprint. Thank you very much, all y'all. And then there's all you guys out there in the whole wide world going to the World Wide Web, dialing us in on places like Facebook and YouTube and X and Rumble and our website, rightsidemedia.org. And then all you podcasters that catch it after the fact. I say all that to say this audience means the world to us. We love you. We thank you. And the reason why we talk into this microphone every day is because y'all are out there. So thank you very much. Allie from Athens checking in says, if we don't quit, we win. Amen and amen, Colonel. Thank you, my friend Allie. Stephen from Athens says, Phil, I know you can't watch this short video. Well, you're right. But now, have you ever seen Uncommon Valor with Gene? Are you kidding me? One of my favorite movies of all time. Uncommon Valor with Gene Hackman? Patrick Swayze? I mean, listen, are you looking it up right now? Because you need to. Robert Stack? I mean, this is a great, listen, that's a movie. That's legit.
I think anything with Gene Hackman is a movie.
That's true. That's true. Gene Hackman was a man.
Rest in peace.
Rest in peace. Cameron from Decatur says, hey, I hope that you will ask your listeners to please lift up my grown son Christian in their prayers. God knows the need. Well, Lord bless him. And Cameron, thanks for making us aware. In the name of Jesus. TL from Huntsville says, JP, thumbs up on the live stream commercial break clips. Great addition. Whoop, whoop.
Thank you.
You need to give yourself a whoop. I'm assigning you. Give yourself a whoop, whoop right there. That's just worth it. All right. Shout out to you. We're going to dive on into the numbers here in a moment. If you got any more comments on YouTube before I jump in. So several things out there that are numbers that I thought we need to talk about. This first dipper is called By the Numbers. It's not just polling. I thought it would be instructive for us to also pay attention. You know, numbers don't lie, right? They say numbers don't lie. The old axiom is that numbers don't lie. But I will tell you, there are liars who will lie about numbers. How about that? You can quote me on that, by the way. Put that on a bumper sticker. So the numbers, what numbers do you care about in the big, beautiful bill? Well, there's some big spending numbers. I am bothered by it. I am bothered, me personally, if I had to say there's one piece I wish it wasn't there, I hated the idea of raising the spending cap. Now, I will go ahead and confirm that spending cap doesn't mean they spent the money. It's like putting more space on the credit card, like expanded the line of credit, if you will. But nonetheless, dang, y'all, we got to move this thing into a regular order. I'm gonna be calling things out if they don't start moving to regular order business like they promised that they would. Right now, I get it. But nonetheless, there's a number I didn't like. $5 trillion addition to the line of credit, if you will, available. And it's really not real. It's not. We are right now spending an inordinate amount just on the interest on the national debt. Do I think China's ever going to call it in? No, they're not, because it would be an act of war. But we still owe it, and we're going to make good on it, because if we don't, we lose our bond rating. We cause, you know, world markets to collapse. So the U.S. will continue to pay its debt. But I am for the idea of finding a way to pay off our debt, like bring it down. But there were some numbers in the big, beautiful bill, though, that I like. There's some numbers that I think you guys need to know because they're out there. And I read through, I was telling JP, I didn't know this was in here. So there's several things in the big, beautiful bill in terms of tax relief that I knew, but others that I didn't know. Let me tell you what I got. Pull this piece off justthenews.com. Dateline yesterday. It says 10 tax policies that made it into the final version. I'll go through most of them. The first one you heard of, reducing the tax on tips. So up to $25,000 a year. If you're an income that's derived from both salary plus tips, you can claim a deduction on up to $25,000 of income you derive from tips. Now, you may be shocked to find out there are people who that's how they make a living, or as how they supplement their living at the very least. I mean, I can't tell you how many people are moonlighting right now who are waiting tables. And listen, waiting tables is hard. If you've never done it, you should. In fact, there are a few things that I think everybody should do. I think everybody ought to do some kind of manual labor at some point. I think everybody ought to serve some time in the military. I think everybody ought to work fast food once. And I think everybody ought to wait tables at least once. You got to, I mean, listen, there's an education involved. It might give you greater appreciation.
I was going to say, greater appreciation for sure.
Yes. Did you wait tables?
I haven't waited tables. No, I have not waited tables. But I have, let's just say, you know, when I, before I worked fast food and I would complain about fast food not being fast, after being there and experiencing sometimes why the fast food isn't fast, I'm a lot more patient and understanding at this point. So, yes, I think I would agree.
You worked at Chick-fil-A too, right?
I did. And
so did I.
I worked at Chick-fil-A in the busiest part of Tuscaloosa in a college town where the sorority girls and the frat guys that would all decide to come at the same time, I guess. And it would get lined to the road quite frequently. So, yes.
I believe it. Now, I'll be honest with you. I know that sounds busy, but I don't know that it'd be busier than when I worked Chick-fil-A at the old Parkway City Mall when there was no food court and the only fast food in the mall at Christmas rush was Chick-fil-A.
That's got to be busy. Yeah,
the line, literally the line go out the door of the restaurant and down the mall. And all we just kept slinging chicken, man. Sling more chicken. Got it.
The worst is the ones at the airport. I feel bad for those workers.
I will say this. My daughter worked at Top of the River for a summer.
Oh, that's got to be bad too.
Oh, wow. So funny story. I'm just totally chasing a rabbit. But as long as we're enjoying our time, why mm-hmm. not? So it's her first day at Top of the River. And she's going to be waiting tables in a. If you've ever been to Top of the River, by the way, they have got them in Gunnersville and Gadsden and Anniston. Top of the River is like, it's catfish and cornbread and hush puppies and all of it. Great food, but Top of the River is also just incredibly crowded all the time. It's like nothing I've ever seen. People come from miles around to eat at Top of the River. So my daughter's going to be waiting tables at Top of the River, and she gets up that morning and she's got a headache. And she's supposed to report to work at like 11:30 for the lunch, you know, run, or 11 o'clock. So at around 9 o'clock, she's like, Mom, I got a headache. Okay, here's some Tylenol. Okay, thanks, Mom. Next thing I know, Caitlin's out like a light. She's on the couch, and Charlene's saying, Honey, you need to get up. You got to go to work. I will, Mom, but I'm so tired. Well, why are you so tired? Mom, what did you give me? She gave her Tylenol PM.
that'll do it.
It's like, now she's gonna like, oh my God, I've drugged my daughter. But anyway, okay, why did I talk about that? Let's get back to the numbers. Numbers! Tax on tips, $25,000 a year you can take out. How about this? This is the one I did not know was out there. You can buy a car and you can deduct up to $10,000 a year in the interest on your vehicle purchase. Did not know this. Now, it's only for vehicles purchased from 2025 and forward. But if you're buying a new car, what they're trying to do is say, hey, get back in the car market. Let's help the auto manufacturers make some sales in the new economy. Well, this is huge. Buy a new car, deduct the interest. That's a big deal. How about this one? No overtime tax pay. Never mind the fact that we had that. No overtime payroll tax. That's what I was trying to say. No overtime payroll tax. So you're going to get payroll taxed federally on what you work in your usual 40-hour week. But once you hit time and a half for overtime, tax-free on the federal side. Also would have been tax-free on the state side, but the Republicans in Montgomery decided we don't like that anymore because it gives away too much money, and we're not strong tax-free Republicans. So yeah, they balked on it, and they let it expire. At the same exact time, I'm talking about within 2 weeks of each other, that the overtime tax bill was expiring in Alabama, the new tax bill in federal was passing in D.C. Make that make sense. You can't. We're a red state, and here they just let that, just basically cause a tax increase. Nonetheless, federal, you get a deduction. How about this? Increasing the standard deduction. For those of you all that do your taxes and you wind up not having enough to itemize, but you get a standard deduction, they've raised it. $15,750 now for individuals, $31,500 for married couples filing jointly. I like this. We are now seeing, finally, a deduction for seniors over 65 who were on low fixed incomes. So if you're earning $75,000 a year or less as an individual or filing jointly at $150,000 or less, you can claim up to $6,000 of that as a deduction for your income taxes. Got to love that. Child tax credit increased to $2,200. The salt tax, okay, the salt tax. The salt tax, all that did was throw a bone to the Republicans in the big blue states. But nonetheless, it's there, and it's going to save some people some money, so okay. There's a new thing in here I did not know was there. This is interesting. If you give a scholarship, like basically has to be an approved organization, but if you give a donation to an organization that provides scholarships to students, and by the way, we have them in Alabama. They're called SGOs, Scholarship Granting Organizations. I helped pass the bill on that. We passed the Accountability Act in 2014 or 15, I believe. And that set up SGOs, Scholarship Granting Organizations. This is saying that the feds, whereas Alabama already has a tax deduction for it, now you can give money to an SGO and get a federal deduction as well, up to $1,700. That's actually very cool. You're benefiting kids who will now have a chance to do something better for their education, and you can get a state and a federal tax deduction for that one. And then one other number that I think is very appropriate. Repealed the EV tax credits. No more of this. We'll give you $7,500 if you'll please buy the EV that you didn't know you wanted, but now you have to have because everybody's saying you had to have it, they said during the Biden administration. Thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah, we're going to get back to actual like free market principles here. But so the big old fat subsidies for EVs just went away. All right, I got some more. I'll come back after the break. I'll tell you with you. But one of the things that in terms of you know, like watching the numbers, you might be interested to hear what the polls say about whether or not Democrats versus Republicans are more patriotic. Which one would you imagine? I'll let you figure it out. But I'll tell you when we get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, just giving you all the truth you could slap on a bumper sticker. Okay, so I'm in this section I'm calling By the Numbers. By the Numbers. So I got a piece here from townhall.com, Dateline Sunday. Headline is Red, White, and Divided. Poll shows a stark partisan split on patriotism. Let me ask you, JP.
Yeah.
If there was a poll that showed that there was a split between Democrats and Republicans as to which one was more patriotic, if in that poll existed, which one, Republican, Democrat, would you imagine is more patriotic? Ponder it. Time clock is ticking.
I don't know. I may need some time. No, this is Democrats for sure.
You think Democrats are more patriotic?
Excuse me, Republicans more patriotic than Democrats for sure.
Wow, I was about to have to reach over there and check, see if you had a fever or something. all right, he's having a fever dream over there. Democrats are more. No, they're not. Okay, no. So here's the deal. A brand spanking new survey, a couple of them actually. One of them came out from a company called National Research, found that just half of Democrats consider themselves patriots. Half. In contrast, a strong majority of Republicans continue to express pride in being American. The poll also, by the way, I think that was the Republicans was 91% consider themselves patriotic.
Like, what happened to the, what's up with the nine?
Where's the nine?
Yeah.
I was going to say, where are the nine?
That's weird.
They're Republicans and they.
Yeah. That's...
Okay. Check them for a fever dream. Something's going on. But yeah, the poll also highlighted a comparable split among 2024 voters. 90% of President Donald Trump's supporters said they do consider themselves patriotic. Only 55% of those who supported Vice President Kamala Harris consider themselves patriotic. Good Lord. Another one, a Gallup poll showed that just 36% of Democrats say they are extremely or very proud to be American.
When someone you love is facing cancer, you want to do more than send a card or flowers that will wilt in a week. You want to actually help. That's where the BalmBox comes in. Our care packages are built from research with over 500 cancer patients and caregivers, packed with items people actually use during treatment. Think soothing, practical, thank goodness I have this kind of relief. For you, it's not just a gift. It's a way to show up in a moment where words fall short. For them, it's comfort, calm, and a reminder they're not alone. From chemo-friendly boxes to mastectomy recovery kits, even options for men, we've made it simple to give something that's elegant, premium, and genuinely useful. And yes, domestic shipping's always free on orders over $50, because making someone feel cared for shouldn't be complicated. So skip the empty get well soon. Send real help, real comfort, and maybe even a laugh. Visit thebalmbox.com. That's thebalmbox.com. Balm, like healing and care. The Balm Box. Because cancer patients don't need bouquets and brownies. They need Balm.
That's just, okay, so why are you here?
Yeah. Well, that's like, Republicans, we disagree, like a lot of the people would disagree about how to go about things, maybe. You know, we saw it with the Big Beautiful Bill, and right. We see it in with the, if we should intervene in the war with Iran or whatever. But we're all, except for the 9% apparently, we're all sincere that our goal is to make America better.
Yeah.
And although if we disagree sometimes on how to do that, we're all fighting for the same goal. It's like Democrats, it's like, are you guys just trying to ruin the nation? Like, is that your only goal here?
Apparently.
Where Ilhan Omar says that her goal as a representative is to, you know, fight for Somalia. It's like, you should be thrown out of the country for that. Not even just thrown out of your office. You should be sent on a boat back to Somalia.
Ilhan Omar is like the cartoon that just keeps on being more cartoony every day. That Gallup poll, by the way, 36% of Democrats say they are extremely or very proud to be American, a sharp drop from 62% this same time last year. Wow, that's like almost a half. Republican appreciation for the United States has actually increased by 7 percentage points over the last few years. So I would say that, yes, you can expect that the more patriotic group of people are the ones on the red side, the right side of politics. Now, what about Elon Musk? Would you anticipate that his polling numbers among Republicans has gone up or down?
Down, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, I think? Yeah, you're right. Tech billionaires, AP. AP has a story. And I pulled this story, by the way, because it quotes an Alabama resident. And it's almost like she's just like a random lady in Alabama. It says Alabama Republican Katie Long, who's a 34-year-old automotive component factory employee and mother of three from Woodstock, Alabama. I'm like, well, how'd they find her? Did they ask for somebody like that? Or did they just, like, she showed up in social media and got a DM and they said, sure, what do you think?
I guess, that's weird.
Anyway, her exact comments were, some things have happened lately that changed how I feel about him, Musk, a little. She said that she's only somewhat favorable to him now. So I liked what he was doing when he was helping, but now I feel like he's hurting. I also don't feel like he matters that much. He's not actually part of government. He's just a rich guy who pushes his opinions. Okay. Now, that I will say this, that rich guy gave us freedom of speech back. I'm still super appreciative of that. But yes, a recent poll was done that says that there are fewer Republicans now with a high positive view of Musk because of the recent falling out with President Donald Trump. Says, though most Republicans continue to hold a positive view of Musk, their diminished fervor suggests his vocal opposition to Trump's signature spending and tax cut legislation and the fact that he has tried to form his own personal political party may have cost him some enthusiasm within the party. So here's the numbers. You ready? Because numbers allegedly don't lie, although liars will lie about numbers. The poll suggests that the messy feud with Trump may have rubbed some Republicans the wrong way. Yes. The share of Republicans who view Musk very favorably has dropped from 38% down to 26%. That's a significant drop, a 12-point drop, and that's just in the last couple of months. At the same time, antipathy towards Musk among Democrats has waned a little, meaning his polling numbers are improving with the Dems. What does that tell you? Two-thirds of Democrats, 65%, have a negative view of Musk, which is down from when they had a 74% negative of Musk. So he's improving with the Dems. He's diminishing with the Republicans. Basically, he's hurting his brand. And I will say that this same poll decided to go ahead and poll some of his, you know, commercial endeavors. Tesla endured a difficult first quarter in 2025. Yes, they did. Sales fell while the world's leading electric car manufacturer faced protests in the showrooms. That was the left protesting, by the way. The new poll shows that Tesla is viewed far more negatively than some of its peers. Only about a third of U.S. adults have a somewhat favorable view of Tesla. And I will tell you this, there are members of the board of directors at Tesla that are asking for Musk to please chill out on some of his politics. They're afraid it's going to drive the numbers down again. All right, more By the Numbers with John Rogers from Signal Analytics. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. Alabama and Tennessee syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. And, oh, yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number two on a Taco Tuesday, because, you know, it's always about the food. Taco Tuesday. Well, listen, I've been in this segment I called By the Numbers, and I gave you some things that I'm seeing out there, just gathering up some resources of my own. But there's somebody out there in my sphere that I've known for a few years. He's an amazing guy. We've had a chance to work together in state politics. He's now on staff with Signal Analytics out of D.C., a national polling firm that does amazing things. And I called him or texted him last night and said, hey, John, could you go ahead and make time for us again today? Give us the update. Where do you see the numbers? So my friend John Rogers, a pollster with Signal Analytics, is on the phone right now. John Rogers, how you doing?
Phil, doing great. Great to be back on with you. Hope you had a great July 4th weekend.
We did, man. We did. And, oh, by the way, I'm going to say it in front of all the audience right now. Congratulations, new daddy.
Thank you. Thank you. My wife and I just welcomed our first, a beautiful baby girl, and she is keeping us up late at night on some nights, but it's been a lot of fun the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, so right now the polling numbers for you are, what time is it this time? Oh, it's 2 a.m. this time. Oh, it's 3 a.m. this time.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. Well, listen, man, break it down for me. You guys at Signal, y'all do amazing work, and I know you poll on your own and you poll for clients, but then you also wind up just gathering data. What are you seeing out there? Give me some rundowns on some things that sort of tell where the mood of the populace is right now.
Yeah, well, obviously the one big beautiful bill, as President Trump styled it, passed, and it did pass by the July 4th deadline, which a lot of people in D.C. didn't think that was going to happen. But Speaker Mike Johnson did a really phenomenal job in ushering it through his house, and then the Senate made some changes, sent it back, and the House was able to pass it. And then, obviously, President Trump met the deadline that he had set for that bill. And Democrats are going around and saying that they think this gives them a great opportunity in the midterms. But I really don't think that is the case. In polling that we've done over the last month, there are a lot of aspects of the bill that poll quite well when you look at the individual parts. So if you look at eliminating the federal taxes on tips and overtime pay, 72% of voters support that. When you look at increasing the standard tax deduction, 74% of voters support that. Only 18% of voters oppose that. Even when you look at Medicaid, and we asked if people supported adding work requirements for able-bodied Medicaid and food stamp recipients, 66% of American voters said that they support that, and only 28% oppose it. So I don't think that it's necessarily going to be the weapon that Democrats think it will be for them in the midterm elections next year.
Well, and that's my sense of it, too, and I'm glad to hear you say that, because the last thing I want to do is see the slim majority go away halfway through the first, 4 years of recouping. But let me ask you this. Do you have any sense at all? Because right now I would say that the most angst that we see from the Republican side, Democrats are mad about everything, but Republicans, the spending issues and the increase of the debt limit, it gives me pause too. I mean, I have a bit of a beef with that. I also kind of got stuck with the idea that I knew that I had to sort of absorb that in order to get to the other good things in the bill. But is that spending piece strong enough in the anti-bill sentiment to override the good stuff?
So I don't think so is the kind of the short answer. And the reason for this is that I think right now voters see both parties as not being particularly concerned with the debt. The debt has gone up under Democratic administrations really fast, but it's also gone up under Republican administrations. And so I think in a way, for a lot of voters, it's sort of almost a pox in both houses or a frustration that it seems like we can't do a lot of things to address the long-term debt. But when you look at this, when you look at the extension of the 2017 Trump tax cuts and lowering of the rates in certain cases, I think that voters understand that what President Trump is doing is he's making a bet that the economy is going to grow really fast over the next 3 to 4 years. Productivity is going to continue to rise, and that will be the thing that allows the federal government to be able to address some of the debt concerns and actually have a faster economy across the board.
Well, yeah, and we would hope so. And he sort of proved that in his first term that he knows how to spike an economy. And if we can see interest rates come down, if the Fed actually begins to actually work with the rest of us, then maybe we can actually see all that come together. All right, what else you got, man? Because there's a whole lot of people out there talking about, is Congress popular? Is Trump popular? Is Musk popular? Where are you seeing things in terms of, fave, unfave on people right now?
So for President Trump, if you went back to April, and we do a national poll every single month, if you went back to April, his net favorability was a little bit underwater at -6. It's been underwater for the last 6 to 7 years. I mean, he's a polarizing guy, right? But it's been stable. It was -6 in April. If you went back to last month, it was at -5. And then here in the poll in July that we just finished up, it's at -5 again. And so people know who Donald Trump is. They have their opinions pretty well formed about him. You know, when you look at some other people, some other political figures across the aisle, J.D. Vance is at a 45% fave, 48% unfave.
Wow.
So -3. But when you look at Kamala Harris, 44% fave, 52% unfave. So a -8 favorability for the former vice president and perhaps the next governor or senator of California, or who knows what exactly she's going to run for. The real challenge for Democrats is they continue to be very unpopular. Congressional Democrats continue to have some of the weakest numbers that they've had in years. And there's really not a central figure that they're uniting behind. Chuck Schumer continues to be very unpopular. Virtually no one knows who Hakeem Jeffries is. And so they're failing. They're really having a tough time uniting behind a messenger and certainly having a tough time finding a popular messenger right now.
Well, I think that's true. And not just the messenger, but the message itself. I mean, nobody knows what they stand for right now. They seem to stand for anything that's just not Trump. And I don't think that's a winning message right now. More to come on that. But I tell you what, I'm going to throw you a curveball here. Is there any, just John Rogers talking to Phil Williams, is there any Democrat out there that you look at and go, that's the one who may come along and be the candidate they have to rally around? Do you see anybody out there?
Not, Gavin Newsom is a really skilled communicator, but I think that, he's from California. He comes off as a little bit too much of a salesman. And so he's a very skilled communicator, though. But I could see him being the nominee, and it would probably be a fairly tight election. You know, if you go forward to the next presidential election, that's Gavin Newsom versus J.D. Vance. It might be fairly close, but it feels like an eternity until, we haven't even gotten to the year that the midterm elections are going to be held in 2026. And so I think Democrats are going to have to do a lot of soul searching. You see what happened to the New York City mayoral election.
Right.
Far left
really
emboldened.
Yeah.
And you have openly avowed socialists that are arising to power in the Democratic Party all around the country. And that's going to be something that they're going to have to contend with. And if they put somebody forward who's pretty radical, it's going to be you're going to have a J.D. Vance administration or whoever the Republican nominee is in 2028 and 2029.
Well, we'll see. I'd love to think it's a long ways away, but I feel like we're going to wind up starting to see campaign commercials any day now is the way it feels. I mean, we're already talking about polling for 2028. But all right. What else you got, man?
It's really interesting that Democrats just seem fixated on continuing to talk about immigration, and they really, it's like they're just focused on immigration over and over again. And it's playing, though, right into the hands, politically speaking, of the Republican Party and the administration. We asked in the July poll, do you support or oppose deporting those illegally in the United States back to their country of origin? Just a straight up question about deporting illegals. 61% of the American public said they support it.
Yeah.
Only 35% oppose it, right? So you get an issue like that that's a +26 in favor of the Republicans, but Democrats just cannot get off that issue. And I think it's something that people who run campaigns for a living, some of the smarter consultants and strategists on the Democratic side, somebody like James Carville, I think they realize, look, we've got to change the topic to talk about inflation. We have to talk about the economy. We got to get back to talking about trying to represent the working class. But for right now, they're seemingly squarely focused on immigration. And every day that J.D. Vance wakes up and this another, you know, headline from the New York Times or another clip from MSNBC talking about immigration, it just makes a day.
Yeah, it does. And I look at it and think, man, 26, what do you say, is it 26% favorability is what you said, plus 26?
It's plus 26 in support of deportation.
I mean, you couldn't poll "Do you love your mama?" and get a plus 26. So the idea that we have a bipartisan plus 26 on any issue is significant. And I sooner or later Democrats got to realize, I guess I'm going to backtrack a little bit. I think part of the reasons why they refuse to acknowledge how bad it is. Is because they know they caused it. And for them to say it's bad now is like saying we were really wrong for 4 years. But still, I mean, digging in your heels every time we do a deportation roundup, for the love, man, recognize that at some point, all you're going to do is just make things worse for yourself. All right, well, tell you what, you covered the big, beautiful bill. You covered some fave, unfave. What else are you seeing out there? And by the way, what do you think about Musk's new One America or America Party? Do you have anything on that?
Yeah, we've done some polling on that, and it seems like I'll just say this, starting a third party is incredibly hard, as I'm sure you've talked about with your audience, Phil. I mean, it is just a gargantuan task, and in some ways it might be easier to send a man to the moon, or to Mars, rather, than to actually start a successful third party. I mean, I guess you can't count out Elon. I mean, he's got an enormous amount of money, and if he really decided to throw everything at it, he might have a better shot than maybe anybody else. But it's just very, very, very difficult for a lot of different structural reasons to start a third party. One of it is you have 50 different states, and the laws as it regards to party registration differ across all 50 states. And so you have to have a lot of lawyers involved. You have to have a lot of signatures involved. It's just a really long and complicated process. And then you have to actually build a brand from scratch. So, you know, if he did move forward with this, I mean, it might hurt the Republicans a little bit. You might get some libertarians that would drop off a little bit and consider voting for a third party. But, you know, it's also like, what is that party actually going to stand for? Is it going to be talking about Doge? Is it going to be talking about the niche concerns of Silicon Valley tech elites? I mean, who knows, right? And so I think it's really just kind of open for debate about what that third party might stand for. But, you know, it'll be interesting to see if he decides to take the gamble and really invest a lot of money in it.
Yeah, I agree. And part of me almost feels like it's a ruse, you know, like it's like, I'm going to do this thing. Oh, I'm just kidding. You know, I almost feel like that he and Trump might wind up reconciling at some point, or at least reaching detente. Nonetheless, I do think it's a bad idea right now for this third party. It does nothing, because everything they would be draining from the Republican side as opposed to the Democrat side, because it just would. All right, man, we got about a minute left. You got anything else? Did I lose him? I think I just lost John. Well, I guess he's got nothing else. Is he still showing on there? All right. Well, listen, that was John Rogers with Signal Analytics, and he finished up his last comments, and I guess we hit. Nonetheless, that was right at the break time, so we'll go ahead and take the break. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, just saving the world one soundbite at a time. I got a couple more of these numbers, you know, just to wrap things up here. Story off of Forbes. Donald Trump's net approval rating is allegedly 3 points below where it was at this point during his first term. I don't think he cares. I don't think for a second that Trump is sitting around looking at his polling numbers trying to decide what he should do tomorrow.
Yeah.
What's popular?
I don't think so.
Oh, I can't do that again. They might not like me as much. I don't think he cares. But here's what's interesting. And I will tell you that, you know, it's always nice to be liked. You like being liked, right? Everybody likes being liked. You want to be the guy. You want to be the one. You want to be the pal. You can't always be the pal. In fact, I will say this. If you're always liked, you're not really doing your job if you're in Congress. If you're in any elected position, if you're always liked, if everybody enjoys your company, if you're always your approval ratings are always super high, I would have to question whether you're doing your job. But I will say this, it's nice to be liked, at least by some. And Congress, Republicans in Congress, are seeing a higher approval rating than they have in more than a decade. That's interesting. Now, don't, by the way, it's not overwhelming. 36% of registered voters are now approving of the job Republicans in Congress are doing. Only 36%. But that's actually, oh, by the way, a 10-point jump from this time last year. 10 points. They were down at 26% in spring of last year. The jump in the GOP approval comes as the party has taken back control of both chambers of Congress, they point out, at The Hill. TheHill.com is where I got this. But Democrats, whoo, have seen the most dramatic drop in their approval ratings in the latest poll. Only 27% of registered voters approve of the job that congressional Democrats are doing, which is down 12 points since February of last year. So Dems are sucking wind right now.
Well, if your party's platform is everything Trump does is bad,
yeah,
and then the only way to combat it is for Hakeem Jeffries to go and do an eight-hour filibuster,
yeah,
where he himself said the filibuster is a Jim Crow-era tactic used. It's like, in my mind, they're not even considered players. Like, I almost view, like, the different assets and the parts of the Republican Party over, I don't even factor in the Democratic Party, you know? It's like the Republican Party is a party with more principle, you know, even when we disagree, than the Democrat Party has as a whole. So it's like they're not even players in my mind.
Not even players. Mm-hmm. Not even on the field. You see Hakeem Jeffries, by the way, getting slammed because he had a photoshopped image of himself?
No.
Apparently somebody, maybe him, felt it was necessary to slim him down for the picture. And yet you could see the distortion on the scenery around him.
That's like a...
It's like, come on, man.
That's like an Instagram model mistake. Why are you photoshopping anything?
That is someone who is so worried about the polls that he's even slimming down his own, you know, Facebook profile
<That's>
picture.
<funny. laughs>
Unbelievable. All right, we got a bunch of text messages piling up on me, so I'll catch those. You want to text in, give me your thoughts, 833-687-4448. Do you agree with the numbers that I read out today? Do you have any of your question about? Do you want to know more about some of them? 833-68-RIGHT, that's the number. Old Julie Ruff from Marshall County, says Chick-fil-A and Orange Julius at Parkway City Mall. Julie Ruff, were you a Chick-fil-A and Orange Julius person? Because we might be besties, because... Listen, the Chick-fil-A, the Orange Julius, the Great American Cookie Company, and the Madison Twin Theater, we all hung out in the mall together after hours. Let me know. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.
When someone you love is facing cancer, you want to do more than send a card or flowers that will wilt in a week. You want to actually help. That's where the Balm Box comes in. Our care packages are built from research with over 500 cancer patients and caregivers, packed with items people actually use during treatment. Think soothing, practical, thank goodness I have this kind of relief. For you, it's not just a gift. It's a way to show up in a moment where words fall short. For them, it's comfort, calm, and a reminder they're not alone. From chemo-friendly boxes to mastectomy recovery kits, even options for men, we've made it simple to give something that's elegant, premium, and genuinely useful. And yes, domestic shipping's always free on orders over $50, because making someone feel cared for shouldn't be complicated. So skip the empty get well soon. Send real help, real comfort, and maybe even a laugh. Visit thebalmbox.com. That's thebalmbox.com. Balm, like healing and care. The Balm Box. Because cancer patients don't need bouquets and brownies. They need Balm.